Hello, welcome to episode number 37 of Light the Eye, presented by the U of I Community Credit Union. I'm Scott Beatty.
Who cares?
I guess we're going to do this. We're going to talk about Illinois. They lost in the Final Four. Robert, let's light the eye. I actually didn't feel that way.
Yeah, me neither.
I actually didn't feel that way at all. It's the most unique, I would think, Final Four experience Illinois has had. At least in the, what I'd call, modern three Final Fours.
I agree with that.
We talked about this going into it last week. 1989, this team's the best team in the country, right? Oop, lost Kendall Gill, but it still could be. And then that if not for that one thing in the game against Michigan, would have been in the title game. In 2005, if just a few more threes fall, and if it wasn't for those stinking referees, and that was the best team in the country, and everyone knew it, and it was just loaded, and just stinking Sean May, and the referees are just 2024, not a Final Four year, I know, but it's like this could be it. This could be it. And like, we just got bulldozed by UConn. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, that's mm-hmm. the best team, and we just got our butts kicked. This game was no. There's a couple more shots and you fall. We just lost. Yeah. We just lost. That's all. We lost. Tears. What a ride. What a journey we all got to go on together. Nobody thought Illinois going into that Final Four was the best of the four, and nobody thought it was some lucky Cinderella run. It was right in between as they could absolutely win it. They could absolutely lose. But there was no, we really got screwed over by, or if they, and wasn't, they just didn't play their best.
I agree.
But what a ride.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean.
I'm actually not that depressed about it.
I think it's the function of maybe being a three seed in the Final Four versus, you know, the other two you mentioned, one seed and you could maybe say title favorite. Like, when Illinois was looking at, I can't remember who the fourth team was in 89, but it's Seton Hall, Michigan, Illinois. Everybody going into that weekend was like, I think Illinois is going to win a national title. In 2005, obviously, everybody thought Illinois was going to win a national title. Number one team all season long since, you know, December 4th when they beat Wake Forest or whatever. So, this was beat Houston in Houston to surprise, and then Florida got knocked off, and Illinois beat the team that beat Florida, and suddenly you're in the Final Four, and that's a different vibe than win or else. And I agree. It wasn't as – I mean, it was sad. I was not – you know, I wasn't dancing around the streets of Indianapolis on Saturday night. And it's hard to see Michigan be this good. You know, it's hard to, like, look at a TV and see – Michigan being featured in things, but overall, you're right. It didn't have the feeling of the loss in 89 or the feeling of the loss in 05.
It just felt like it just was.
Yeah.
They weren't hanging by a thread to get into this Final Four. Nobody would have been completely shocked if Illinois got into the national title game and even won that game.
Yep.
I think it's pretty clear who the best team is in college basketball.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I hate it.
But it was like, oh, this team is one of the best teams this year, just not the very best.
Yep.
And what a to go to Indianapolis, the fans turning out, the joy, the alma mater gatherings, the watch parties and the pictures and It all just was kind of good. It feels to me like the football team going to the Citrus Bowl 2 years ago. It just felt like we're here now. And maybe that's a bad analogy because football was knocking on the door of the playoff. And
no, I think it holds.
It's just not a one-to-one there is what I mean.
Yeah.
But but it's more than a, aw, shucks, you got there. Good for you.
Yes.
It's like, no, we've built this thing to be here. But it wasn't like a team that overachieved by getting to the Final Four, and it wasn't a team that underachieved by losing in it.
I think the Citrus Bowl comparison is really good because, I mean, if you remember the week leading up to that, South Carolina had just beaten Clemson. They had beaten, you know, they were the team being debated as should they be in the playoff.
Mm-hmm.
When the rankings came out, it was, okay, they're the 13th team. South Carolina is the one team that should have been in the playoff. If you remember, Brett Bielema famously went after that on Twitter that week of like, what about Illinois? Maybe mm-hmm. we're the team that should have been in the playoff. Yeah, yeah. And people made fun of him for it. And like, yeah, we'll see when you play an SEC team in the Citrus Bowl. And so that one was hyped as best versus best. Best to not make it versus best to not make it from the big. And Illinois won the game and made a statement. And you saw all those tweets after. We're like, maybe Illinois should have been the team in the playoff.
Yeah.
And that was a, you know, this. And that was, I felt like beating Houston in Houston and getting to the Final Four was that, like, wait, maybe Illinois is legit. Like, maybe this is, hold on here a second. You know, we all made fun of Illinois for stumbling at the end of the season and losing the four overtime games and everything else. But making the Final Four here was like, wait, maybe the whole time they were what people were saying they were and what their fans were saying they were. And that's a satisfying fan feeling. Look, I wanted to be I don't want to be here right now. I want to be doing this from Indianapolis a few hours before the national championship game. I would be losing my mind about the idea of Illinois versus, you know, Michigan and a chance to avenge 89. And it would, you know, that would have been a great moment, but it just wasn't to be.
It wasn't, but it was, I don't think anybody would trade it back.
Yeah, I agree.
This whole, I think that's,
yeah,
where I land. People fell in love with the team. They fell in love with a largely, you know, half the roster was new from lands far away.
Yep.
Similar to 2024 when people fell in love with a newer roster to them.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave you a ride. Now, the interesting thing is, probably for a future pod, because I don't know, still feels like we're closing this book and not writing the next one. But the expectations for the years to come, next mm-hmm. year and the years beyond, you know, I'll say that. I just think it's going to be interesting.
Yep.
But there's no, why didn't you, what? The UCLA game. How could you set the defense? What mm-hmm. the Nebraska? Like, would you got the shot off? And if you just and didn't and yep. nobody's nitpick, you know, and even to watch Underwood just go, I'm really sad that this is over with these guys, and I love them, and
yep,
and the tears in the locker room and the whole thing. I think that kind of was a picture of maybe what Illini Nation was feeling. Wow, they were Robert Rosenthaling this. They weren't getting mad. They were getting sad, which is very unusual for this fan base, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yes. I mean, I think a lot of it was just because the layups were there, you know? Like, when basketball looks right, and against UCLA after their comeback, but the basketball didn't look right, the defense fell apart, UCLA scored on like 18 of 20 consecutive possessions. The defense, you know, Underwood said famously, like, I feel like when we get a big lead, we're like, oh, well, good. Now we don't have to play defense. You know, there were those things going on in those late season losses. This, the defense was good. Everything looked good on the offensive end. They're passing it. And you could hear the crowd get excited for the layup. Oh, he botched the layup. Or he short-armed this. Or the wide-open three just doesn't fall. And it just became that. The whole mood became this, like, everything looks right, but the ball's not going in the hoop. And then when some of those, like, bounce around for 9 seconds and not fall through the hoop, then it started to feel like, oh, is there a bar across this hoop? Like, what is happening here? Mm-hmm. Why? That looked like
Dan Hurley
the easiest
voodoo
of layups, and it just won't go down. And, yeah, so I feel like that's maybe an easier game to stomach of, look, it just wouldn't go, you know? And even with that, what, minute left, they miss a shot. If we get that rebound down four with, like, 50 seconds left or whatever, you can go down, score quickly, and not even have to foul. Force them to make a shot, or you're going to have a shot to win it, and just couldn't get the rebound. They threw it around, hit a three in ball game. So, you know, even with everything not happening, it was that close to grab that rebound, make a shot before the shot clock gets to 30 seconds, and you're still going to have, you know, you don't even have to put them on the line. You can get one stop, one basket, and maybe win the game. Not to be.
I would have been curious how it would have played out if it was Duke, for one reason and one reason only. Everybody assumed this is the better matchup for Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
Even though UConn had beaten you in November in Madison Square Garden, you were on paper a little bit of a better team, and Duke would be a worse matchup for you, but UConn's just been there. Duke's obviously a program that's been there, but they just haven't been there with that roster and, you know, that whole thing. UConn's just rinse and repeat.
Yeah.
Another year. We know how to handle this environment. I don't think you can say Illinois didn't handle the environment, other than when you're missing a lot of layups and a lot of shots aren't falling. It's either that, it's a little bit, you're pressing a little bit extra, you're a little bit extra amped up or nerves or whatever. Or the balls are overinflated.
Yeah.
Could be both in this case.
Or the rims are too tight or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, hey, look, both teams shooting at the same rims. It's just so to have a crowd that big, and it's kind of hard to see, you know. So there's – you could hear different crowd reactions from different parts of the football stadium. Like there was
based on what they could see.
Yes. There was one shot. I think it was an air ball. It might have been for UConn. Maybe it was Illinois. There was one shot that grazed the net, and there was just one pocket of the stadium because from that angle, it totally looked like it went in.
So a little just, string music.
You just heard a crowd cheer from over here of like, yeah. And it's like, you know, but other angles could tell it was. It's just that kind of, you know, why basketball isn't played from, you don't watch basketball from 600 yards away normally. It's a sport that's difficult to pick up from a long distance. But yeah, it was very interesting of these moments and the crowd's ready to go and ready to explode and just, you know, then it's achingly bouncing around on top of the rim and won't go down. And it was hard to watch at the end because they cut it from 14 to 4, and you think it's going to happen, and then just couldn't get there.
All right. I get to do a Robert now.
Okay.
You know what that is?
What's that?
That's when I get to say...
100%?
No.
Oh.
That's when I get to say... You know, I had a lot of people reach out to me.
Okay, good.
And I always like, well, I can never tell. It's like, you're just... Is a lot of people like two, and you're just... You know, the fish story and this thing is getting bigger. I had so many people reach out to me. Mm-hmm. So many people text me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had a lot of people reach out to me, Robert.
Well, hit me with it.
Everyone wanted to know. Everyone wanted to know. What did Ella decide?
Yes. Yes. I had three different people ask me that. In
That's a the very arena. Specific number you just gave me.
People just came up to me and said, hey, love light the eye. What did Ella decide? Is she here? So people are invested.
Yeah. If you listened last time, I think we revealed that.
Yes.
But producer Ella is here, and she can tell us the whole story. Would she go with her family to take in the game in Indianapolis, or would she stay with friends and experience the vibe of campus?
Mm-hmm.
Producer Ella, hello.
Hey, guys. I'm glad I'm here to solve the mystery.
That's right. Tell the people what they want to know.
Okay.
Or don't answer and let yourself be shrouded and be that mysterious figure.
I was way too cool to be a mysterious figure about it. I can't not talk about being an indie. So that was a quick spoiler. But after the podcast, I was like genuinely, I was so conflicted. And it really helped that my best friend, her whole family was going. And I was like, okay, like feeling like that's what I should do. So I just fired off a text to my parents. I was like, okay, like I think I'm leaning. Let's go indie. And then later that night, they're like, you sure? And I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. Like, I'm sure. And it was 1,000% the right call. Uh-huh. I think that there is something about, well, me and my three brothers were sitting up kind of in the 500 level, and my parents were down in the 200s. So they would turn and wave. But there's something like, I mean, watching a team, my older brother went to Illinois. I go here. My little brothers grew up just as big of fans as we are, and all four of us watching that together. I would not have traded it for Cam's. So that was that was fun.
And if they had made it, would you have stayed?
No. I would have been on campus if they had made it. I'd already had plans. My family was staying.
Again, and she would have had class today. I mean, let's be honest here. You know, like she is a student. She has to go to class on Monday.
And has podcasts to record.
Had podcasts to produce.
Well, Robert, here's my rookie mistake, is that I was riding so hard on the Illinois making it to the final train. I have so many projects due on Tuesday.
Oh.
And I was like, I'm going to be an indie. We're going to be either celebrating a national championship or like everybody's going to be sad. So professors should be nice. And then it's like Saturday night and I'm sitting there. I stayed for the Michigan-Arizona game and I was like, oh my God, like I have no excuse for those. So I think my next mystery is if those projects get turned in on time. So,
listen, we covered once that my sophomore year, I did pull 19 all-nighters. So the all-nighter is still possible. You know, it's what caffeine is made for. It's a great, it's great college memory. So if you need to pull the all-nighter, do they still have Jolt Cola? I had Jolt is what I would go to the convenience store over on Greg.
They make things called Red Bull now and energy drinks.
What are you even talking about?
You're unfamiliar with Jolt Cola?
No, that's not a thing.
Yes, it absolutely.
Robert, that's literally not a thing.
It was a. You think Mountain Dew has a lot of caffeine? Try a Jolt.
Isn't it like 5-hour energy spiked in a cola?
Basically, it was carbonated. It was carbonated. Yes, it was. They didn't have Red Bull at the time. There wasn't a single Monster energy drink on the planet. So there was Jolt, and there was Surge. Remember Surge, the knockoff Mountain Dew thing?
Yeah.
So I fueled myself with Surge and Jolt.
And I think I tasted one. It's just disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and remember, this is the 90s, Ella. We didn't look at labels. We weren't concerned about red dye 40 or is it balanced with the right electrolytes and protein and all that stuff. It was just pure sugar plus caffeine.
I think I'm a little horrified that you drank something called like Jolt Cola or
and Surge. And Surge, don't forget the Surge. Hold on, I'm pulling it up here. We're gonna go to my laptop in a second once I get this pulled up, but I just googled a Jolt Cola. Okay, we can go to my laptop now. There is the Jolt Cola. I think that looks modern. This looks a little newer. All the sugar and twice the caffeine. They put it on the can. That's a great
killer label. That's got to be FDA approved. That's
all
awesome.
The sugar and twice the caffeine. And that was, I would just go over, I would get a Jolt, I would stay up all night, I'd get my projects done, I have a degree from here.
Why are all these kids in the emergency room?
Yes. What is going on? Oh, wait, what does it say? Inspired by the need for a better tasting soft drink. Okay, yes.
Yeah, right.
That's what they were inspired by. Yeah. It's all about the taste, not the fact that you're getting kids all hyped up on extra caffeine.
Well, Ella, I'm glad you went. I'm glad you made a decision that you don't regret. And hopefully there is another chance for you to go to a Final Four or stay behind, whatever you wish, and take it in that way.
I mean, I'm feeling like I have a lot of confidence. I've been on my Twitter game recently about all of the, we don't need to get into it, but all the predictions of who's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel good. Like, I feel like this is a, and we've highlighted how I have been lucky enough to be an Illinois student in a huge time to be a part of Illinois athletics. I went to the Citrus Bowl. I didn't go to the Music City Bowl, but I went to the Citrus Bowl. I've now been to a Final Four. I mean, this is stuff that my parents, they waited 20 years for,
yep,
plus. And so I've gotten to do it in two. So I'm feeling, you know, I think we just keep building. So let's check back in on my junior year. Maybe we make it somewhere big. Maybe we make it to the playoffs in football, right? That's the big junior year thing. Senior year, we'll just bring it home with the basketball national championships. We'll go like football, basketball, football, basketball, and then I'll tap out.
What if next year or your senior year, both the men and the women are in the Final Four at once? Where would you go?
Oh, they're not on the same day. You can bounce.
Oh,
you know?
I'm sure there were
jet
people that could go Phoenix to, you know, like UConn fans that went Phoenix Friday night and then Indy on Saturday. I'm sure there were.
Yeah.
You could pull it off.
It could be done.
Mm-hmm.
And with the program Shauna Green's building, I like have no doubt they'll be there.
Yeah, I saw a poll today.
Also in my time. Like, it's,
yeah, you're,
it's gonna
right,
be so fun.
I saw a poll today. I had them 16 next
They're
year.
They're 16. It's like the ESPN way too early,
yeah,
rankings.
Yeah. I mean, that's 16. That's in the range of Illinois 17 preseason this year and got to the Final Four, men's team. So why not 16 women's team preseason and get to the Final Four? Big Ten is hot. South Carolina goes down.
All right. Before this is over, I want to ask both of you a favorite moment or two from this year's run.
Okay.
All right. But one more before we go. Ella, what did you think of the high cover charge that some establishments in Champaign were issuing to go watch the game with friends? I had one student I know tell me it was a $50 cover to get into one place.
Wasn't Cam's 100?
I don't know. Was a different place.
I heard it was 100.
Yeah, but I don't know what the easier internet, but I just, yeah, internet rumors. I don't,
yes,
know.
Yes.
Is this capitalism at its finest or taking advantage of the poor students?
I mean, Robert
students?
Was right. Cam's was 100, so it's a $100 ticket to get in. And I think it's all a hustle. I think it's a demand. People want to go, charge the ticket. I know the people that work at these bars, and they're there to make some money.
Yeah.
I think that it in a way could ruin the fun a little bit when you're thinking about how much you're chewing on to get into these games.
Yeah.
But I just don't know if there's
chewing on
a way around it.
I like it. Yeah, it's hard to, I mean, we saw pictures of the line for the Elite Eight game, so, you know, it's kind of a known, they have to do something. For the Final Four, the line would be two times around the block if there wasn't something to bring the number of people down. So I get that it sucks that it has to be a $100 cover charge, but in some way they have to control that crowd.
I've seen the stuff for Michigan. They were, like, starting to sleep outside. I mean, that's what you get down to. If,
yeah,
you aren't doing these tickets and you are having kids,
yep,
sleeping outside the bar at midnight, which on Green Street is probably not their safest or best or parentally advised route. So I'm sure everybody's like, parents, like, just bite the 100.
Yeah.
Speaking of Michigan, I apologize ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy Mexican food.
Mm-hmm.
And I stopped for lunch today at Maiz.
Mm-hmm.
Great. One of the great Mexican joints in Champaign-Urbana.
Did you go to the new one?
The new one.
On Neil?
Yeah. That's where I ran into a friend of yours.
Mm-hmm.
But who recognized me from the pod. But
mm-hmm.
Maiz is spelled Maiz, right?
Is it pronounced Maiz?
I think so, isn't it?
I've always said maize.
I'm pretty sure it's maize, like the corn.
Well, yeah, it is corn, but I thought it was in, I never took Spanish. Is it Maiz or maize?
I think it's pronounced maize. Let's call it Maiz for the rest of this. We should have Maisie here because we could do a playoff,
right,
on that. But yes.
I wasn't trying to. I'm mm-hmm. just saying it was an accident.
Let's call it Maiz. Let's do
Maiz?
It. Yes. It's going to be our own way of saying it. Free ad for Maiz right now.
Yeah.
Maiz.
Well, it's good food. I'm just saying I wasn't trying to do the Michigan thing.
Oh.
You know, so that's why, because they're Maiz and Blue.
Yes.
Or Maiz and Blue.
That's good.
Maiz y Azul?
I'm going to call it Maiz now because it prevents me from having to say the word maize, which reminds me of Michigan.
I don't know if I've made this up. I thought it's Maiz. Because that's how
Say down in the comments if Scott knows what he's talking about. I don't know. Like, I'm afraid I've been pronouncing it wrong. It's my wife's favorite restaurant in Champaign, so we go there a lot.
I wanted to offer a poetic thanks to the basketball team mm-hmm. for the journey it gave everybody. And I'll share that with you now.
Okay.
We thank this team for scratching a 21-year Final Four itch.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to the great play of Zvonimir Ivicic and Tommy Ivicic and Mihailo Petrovic and Andrei Stojakovic and David Mirkovic. Okay, that was all I got. I just knew that
you just want to make the itch thing.
Itch thing was mm-hmm. kind mm-hmm. of flowing there. That's my first mm-hmm. line, and not really. It's a work in
Is
progress.
There more to the poem?
No, that's all I got. It's a work in progress.
Yes,
but
it was.
I feel like the itch theme was in there, and mm-hmm. and there'll be more. Something rhymes with well and Boswell. And
maybe I'll use that as a. I got to figure out what I'm writing for tomorrow. Maybe I'll use scratching the itch. As the title, because yeah. that's what this was. There was you lost everything in the late 2000s where it all fell apart. You went from the Final Four, then you lost to Washington in the round of 32, then you lost to Virginia Tech in the first round, then you didn't even make the tournament, and everything that was in 2005 suddenly fell apart in three seasons. And then it was just all about trying to get Illinois basketball back, and that took till 2020, and there was a completely lost decade in there. And then after that, it was about getting back to the Final Four and, you know, saying, yes, this is still that program. This is still the Illinois basketball that went to 21 tournaments in 25 years from 83 to 07 that, you know, you want to be able to say like that is still the program. I've used Syracuse as the example so many times. The last 5 years for Syracuse, they are just in this like, is it ever going to return? Are we ever going to be Syracuse again? So when you see other programs going through that and then you look at where we're at, it's a really good place to get to the Final Four, not just for this season and to have it accomplished, but for selling the program on the recruiting trail and fan support and everything else, you know, from the dip that started in 2007, 2008. 07, Illinois is the last team in the tournament, the last team on the bubble. And in 08, 14 and 18 or whatever the record was. And so to get back and to be all the way back is a really good feeling. Just, you know, I've had all these moments writing about it where I've said, like, Illinois basketball's back. Back. I mean, look, are we truly back? Are we truly back? Is it, you know, people would question, is this, well, what's back really mean? Final Four is back. 100% back. Illinois basketball has returned to the program it should always be. And that's a great, great feeling.
That's right. And now, as you said, the fan base can say, we should be in the Final Four. Mm-hmm. And we expect it, and we will demand it of you. And if you do not deliver on these results, we won't be sad again. Mm-hmm. We'll be mad next time.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's a good feeling to have that kind of angst return. I mean, I've been talking about this a lot in the last few months because people had forgotten what it was like under Bill Self. Everybody just remembers Self just dominated. If he would have stayed here, we would have won multiple national championships. Bill Self, Bill Self, Bill Self. At the time, you know, lost in the Elite Eight as a one seed to Arizona. Then the next year, lost in the Sweet 16 to Kansas. Then the next year, lost in a round of 32, upset by Notre Dame. And at the time, people were angry about Self. There were even people saying when he left for Kansas, well, good, the guy can't win in the tournament. Like, at the time, that level of angst was around Illinois basketball.
And he's regarded by colleagues as maybe the best tournament coach.
Yes, yes. And yet, you know, at the time it was, oh, well, sure, Big Ten titles, sure, but he can't win it, you know, in the tournament. We all forget how some of those things happened. So, yes, next year if we're number five preseason and we lose in the Elite Eight or something and people are angry, I'll have this small part of me that's like, man, it's nice to be at this level again, like where everything is debated on this. Well, we're the top program in the country. We should just make the Final Four every year. It's nice to have climb back to that level of expectations.
Okay. Favorite moment or two, a favorite moment or two from this tournament run. Either of you want to go first?
I'll let Ella go first. Mine's kind of mushy. So, you know, nobody wants to follow the mushy one. So
okay.
I'll let you two go first and then I'll go third.
Okay.
Okay. I did some thinking back here when you tossed that out earlier. And I'd say it's two things that were my favorite about this season, team, all of it. I think the first one was watching them win on the road at Nebraska. Because it was, they win at Purdue. Okay, that's incredible, but Keaton Wagler carried it. Who else do you have? You can't play lights out every time. And you watch them in Nebraska. I was sitting on the couch with my family. And we were watching that, and I was like, whoa. Like, we remember on the podcast, we talked about that later. It was like, wasn't it Rob the Bank? Was that the one where that came out? You know, that was, to me, where it went from, because we'd, whatever, you'd lost to Alabama and Chicago. You'd had some, not rough losses, but it was still kind of like, who are we? Like, great, we're another Sweet 16 team. And then they won that, and I was like, oh, this is going to be fun. Like, we're going to have a fun spring, winter. And then from there. And then the second part that was fun for me was everything about the media that they involved with. I think that in a way, it was so fun for me to follow UCLA women's basketball because they had fun. Like, you can tell when a team loves each other and has fun. People try to fake it all the time. You can fake it on social media. And it was so, like, watching the UCLA women, they do their dance routine at every time, right? That was something that I found a lot of joy in when I played sports. And the most successful teams I was ever on were the ones that genuinely had fun and enjoyed each other. And so it was just cool to watch all of these kids, like, love each other, but also, like, have some fun, order a cowboy hat, say weird things. Like, everything is so PR now. And I think the most interesting people and things are just unfiltered. And so that was so cool. And so cool to be a part of a nationally regarded media team of, like, they were like, they're hilarious. And I'm like, yeah, that's Illinois. We're funny.
Yeah.
So those are my two. I think it's a two part of what's my favorite.
I like it.
So, yeah.
I think you could hard. I could hardly say it better. Mine relates. I just think the character of David Mirkovic, and I just, I've always enjoyed meeting people from other cultures and getting chances to travel, but also all the international. U of I has a huge international student population from a vast number of countries, and it's just a treat when you get to interact with people that come from a different place than yourself and learn about them, but then also they learn from you and the whole thing. So even though some may lament the days might be gone of the go get the Peoria kids and the Chicago kids and make it an Illinois team, maybe they're not here, but we have a new thing now. And I'm not saying that Peoria and Chicago won't happen. I'm just saying that was a different era, at least for right now. And now bringing people in from a global game, but then the students get to know them and vice versa. And you just have, but then in the middle of it all, you also had a kid who grew up here in Kylan Boswell. And, you know, if you see the comments that he made after, he was really upset, but also just how he felt like he got a new start. But got to come back to his hometown, and he was embraced and, you know, introduced from Champaign and was a key part of the whole thing. So I think those kind of what you said, Ella, and that, but just expanding that to the international flavor of a team and how that could be embraced and could be a two-way street. But then also in the midst of it, contrast that with a hometown kid that found renewal by coming back to play here at Illinois. Yep. So those are kind of seeing it from a media perspective too, it was fun to just see them win and the Final Four and the whole response from the community near and far was also fun. But
sure,
that's going to come every time.
Well, you guys did too. I'm going to do too. My favorite memory from this tournament was the 17-0 run against Houston. So just to set the stage there, it's at Houston. It's not in their arena, but you're a couple miles from their campus. The crowd was predominantly Houston. It was a road game. They were loud. They were all over it. There was even a guy right down by the Illinois section is behind the Illinois bench there. And somehow one guy got tickets right on the corner of that section, and he's a Houston fan. And he was loud and in everybody's faces and chanting. And, like, he saw his job to shout down the Illinois crowd as he's surrounded by them. And that 17-0 run shut him down completely. He even left early with about 3 minutes left. And then, just the Illinois crowd just kept getting louder and louder and louder and louder. So it was this two-level thing of, I'm not going to say the Illinois fans were intimidated by the Houston crowd, but you knew you were just that section compared to an entire place pulling for the home team kind of thing. And so as each Houston shot is missed, they're getting a little quieter. As each Illinois shot goes down, Illinois fans get a little louder, and it was just so much fun. That timeout after the Ben Hummerkaus three, that was the 17th point of the 17-0 run, and Houston took a timeout. That's as loud as I've heard a single little section at an Illinois game ever. It was so great to have those fans experience that.
That's the "this is happening" moment.
Yes.
This is really happening.
And it's like, okay, Iowa, and you're a beat a team you already beat this season at their place away from the Final Four, and it was like, oh my gosh, like, we're going to remember this team for a long time. So that was the highlight of this tourney run. On a personal note, I'll just tell the story. For me, I'm going to remember this tournament that I couldn't go to the first two rounds because I had a funeral of a friend of mine, a former coworker in St. Louis. So I'm just always going to associate this with that. It's always going to be part of that. I debated whether I should go to the first round game and then still go to his funeral, and I decided to just stay home and go to the funeral and this and that. He was a friend. He's not an Illini fan. He was an Arkansas fan. He graduated from Arkansas. After he left and I moved to Champaign, our friendship was mostly texts, and it was just all sports, going back and forth of like, hey, I congratulated him last year when his Razorbacks pulled the upset and got to the Sweet 16, and he congratulated me at the, hey, I just watched the Citrus Bowl. You guys look really good. It was that kind of a texting friendship all through sports and this and that. Well, he passed away in early March, and I was going through my texts after the Iowa win that night, and a bunch of just friends reaching out, hey, congrats, Final Four for your team. It's really nice. And his sister sent me basically the text he would have. She like stepped into his stead and said, I had written an article about it, which she had read, that said, like, he's always reaching out to me in big Illinois moments. And so she just said, hey, like, in place of Joe, I just wanted to reach out and say, congrats on your team making the Final Four. I cried, of course, but it was just so great. It's just a little subtle thing that she did, but obviously, I'm flipping through my phone, and I'm not going to have a text from Joe. And, I'm thinking about it, and I'd missed the first two rounds because of it. So for her to step in and send that same text, I'm never, ever going to forget that. So thank you to Brooke and his sister for doing that. And, it's a bittersweet thing to be following this Final Four while going through that. But It was so great to get that text. So that's the one thing I'm always going to remember about this run.
There's always the when your team wins and there's somebody that you lost that would have.
Yep.
And those are always those moments,
Like, absolutely.
It was all over the place when the Cubs won the World Series because it had been so long. Dad would have, or Grandpa would have, and
yep,
all those kinds of stories. And it strikes me here too, is in this pod, you both had some decisions to make, you and Ella.
Yeah,
one to not go. You make a choice not to go and to a game, and one to go to the game. Yep. Different reasons, different circumstances, but you both made great choices.
Yeah, it was. It's a really special thing for me. I mean, look, I'm talking about an Arkansas fan, right? Like, it's not even some Illini fan that inspired me, but Just the idea
it's not even an Illini fan.
Well, that's the thing,
some
right?
Arkansas
like,
guy.
He knew how much this meant to me, you know, and he would always reach out in those moments. Those are the best texts to receive, and I got a ton of them when we made the Final Four of just a guy I worked with 20 years ago, buddy of mine from high school, just like, hey, man, I just watched, saw your team won, just wanted to say congrats. Those are the best because, they see what's important to you and they want to acknowledge it.
Do you have any Michigan buddies?
I do, unfortunately, but I'm not talking to them right now.
So there's some exceptions.
Yes, there are exceptions. I will not be sending them texts tonight. My bitterness, I'm not as good a person as some might think. I cannot do that.
I'll say this. Great guy is the Michigan radio basketball announcer.
Yeah.
And... he publicly posted this, so I wanted to shout this out. He's getting a chance to call a Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
He's not the same as their football crew. It's different.
Mm-hmm.
They have a little bit of a different setup. And he made his typical spot chart. Brian Bush is his name. Brian Bush. He made his typical spot chart. On the back, he listed everyone that he felt had an impact on him getting to be there. And be in the moment that he's had for the Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a attitude of gratitude kind of thing that I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
So I'm happy for Brian Bush.
I don't want to hear that. I don't want to think there are good people that are Michigan fans. Just want
Robert,
to use the stereotype that's in my head.
Well, that'll have to
it,
be for another
good people.
We'll have to have that in another session.
Yes, yes, yes. Now, we do need to talk about the eye.
I was just going
to
say, yeah, before
yes,
we go.
Yes.
The eye is here. First of all, it's orange again.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't talk about that at the outset, but it's orange again.
Yes.
Blue Eye March, tournament's over.
Tournament's over, back to orange.
Back to orange.
Yes, yes.
But the eye made a journey.
Yes, the eye went to Indianapolis. You can pull up the photo here, Ella. There it is, up in the... So it's not my room. A friend of mine had a suite there at the Omni. That's the Illinois team hotel. And so I took the opportunity to go out and precariously place it on a ledge 12 stories up above the entrance to the hotel. The funny thing is when I put it there, you could kind of see. So the windows there, if you're listening just the audio version, this is going to be confusing. But the windows there to the right on the photo, to the left of the eye, were a different suite. His suite was the one with the balcony there. And I noticed when we lit it up that it kind of lit up the curtain at those windows was like bright orange. And I'm like, oh, I hope that's an Illini fan in there. And they're just like, why is our entire room glowing orange? What is happening? Yes.
Brad Underwood got no sleep that night.
Yeah, right, exactly.
It's like
yes.
the light from the chicken joint in Seinfeld.
Yes.
I'm on no sleep. No sleep.
Yes. Kenny Rogers roasted. Kenny.
The difference is negligible.
Yes. But then, there's protocols here, right? So the light the eye thing for football, just to explain it, is you light the eye after you win and you do not light it after you lose. We light it in here, this, that. But for game day, there's protocols, right? Mm-hmm. So it had to be out by midnight. This was, this photo was from Friday night because it can't
mind
be
any
lit on
Indian,
Saturday.
Any Indianapolis ordinances you may have been violating.
Yes. But we were also very concerned that, the hotel is going to be like, yeah, guy in this suite, you can't bring neon signs and post them on our hotel. But yes, we turned it off at an appropriate time so that the people in the suite, and I was planning to light it there had we won, but I don't know if you heard, we did not win on Saturday night. So it wasn't illuminated again until we just lit it right here behind us.
Well, she looks good back here where she belongs for
yes,
now.
Yes, yes. And won't be lit for a win or a loss until, gosh. Yeah, I guess it's... September is the first football game. UAB is September 5th. Maybe I need to take it and go cover a golf tournament. Just stand there with a glowing eye. Go team.
Sir, we're going to have to ask you to leave.
Sir,
now.
You can't bring large glowing eyes onto the golf course.
This here is a Wendy's.
Yes.
Well, What a run.
Yeah. Yep. It was a great year. It was a fantastic year. The we're back. We're fully, fully back.
And with that, we'll be back for another edition of Light the Eye.
Well played. Well played.
Thank you, Ella Peterson, for your fine work as our producer. Glad you got to go to the game. And thank you to our hosts here at the Center for Innovation and Teaching and Learning at the University of Illinois inside the Armory. And thank you for being along here on the ride. We have more episodes coming up very soon. And we'll talk again next time when we light the eye.